Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
We got a good Sunday in store for you. Pastor Jerry is bringing it at the West Campus. My goodness, I hear that he preached an incredible word this morning. And get this, it's like we're praying to the same Holy Spirit or something, because I'm pretty sure we're preaching out of the same verse. Hello. So you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and then tomorrow you can listen to both podcasts, and it's like, who wore it better? Who preached it better? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. They're both, Pastor Jerry will be the answer to that question. Today is going to help you, though. Ephesians chapter 5, turn there. Who brought their Bible to church? Your real Bible. Wave it in the air like you just don't care. There we go. I see that, Andrew and Gerald. You got your real Bibles. That's awesome. Hey, there's something special about bringing your Bible and a notepad to church, okay? Because what that does is it engages you in whatever it be, 30 minutes of preaching. It gets you attentive and listening. Okay, because you're paying attention to what's going on. I could just be up here and, you know, giving you an encouraging word, and it'll help you for maybe the next 2 hours. But if you don't like take it in and digest it by highlighting in your Bible and by writing notes down, it'll get taken away quickly from you. And I don't want that to happen. So I'm telling you, be those people. Let's be those people that bring our Bibles to church and bring our notepads to church and write down what's going on so that we can remind ourselves. I don't know about you, but I need to remind myself sometimes of the things that I learn from God, because I forget all the time. I forget things that I need to do all the time. That's why sometimes I need to write lists for myself. But this message this morning is going to help you. And if you brought your notepad, it's going to help you that much more. And if you don't have a notepad, like rip a piece of paper out of the person's notepad next to you. Don't rip their Bible, please, okay? Get your phone out, jot some notes down. The title of the message is, We're Not Who We Were. We're Not Who We Were. And this morning I want to help you to embrace change. There's probably people here this morning and you're thinking, well, I don't want to change. I don't need to change. I'm pretty comfortable in the clothes that I wore. I don't want to change. No, but you're set in your ways, you're set in your habits, you're set in your patterns, and you're thinking, I don't need to change. I don't even want to change. But I'm telling you, God's in the business of change. Like leadership retreat, perfect opportunity to realize the change that's already in you. Change is here. His name is Jesus, and he's here to transform your world and change you into a new, better version. And I want to help you this morning to embrace change. So maybe there's people here this morning, and you're like, yeah, I want to change real bad, Pastor. But help me out, because I don't know how to change. Have you been there before? I know I've been there before. What do I change? What do I shift? How do I know what to change? This message this morning, We're Not Who We Were, is going to help you to fine-tune that. But it won't do the whole thing, because you need to get yourself to Leadership Retreat 2019 this Thursday, Friday, Saturday to know what you need to change. There's probably people here who are like, I don't even deserve change. Like, oh, Greg, you have no idea what I've done. You have no idea what my past was like. How could you expect me to find a God who would allow me to change into a better version? I'm already way too far gone, and I don't deserve better. I don't deserve new. I don't deserve a bigger future than this because of everything that I've gone through. But I'm telling you, you need to embrace change, because change is here, and his name is Jesus. Let me pray before we come around the word. Father God, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're mighty. I thank you that you love us so much, that you build us and grow us and shift us to become the new, better version. In the name of Jesus, we pray, help me to deliver this message that you have for your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. So here's the deal. Church is like an engaging environment. So if I'm doing all right, I need you to let me know. Maybe Vanessa can pass me my towel. That's the first step of letting me. This is called the bishop towel. If you bring yours to church, you can shout the preacher down with your bishop towel. I use it for wiping the anointing oil that flows from my head. This is holy ground up here, and it's because the anointing oil just flows. Don't get too close. But if you think I'm doing all right, you just let me know, okay? You can encourage me. You can shout me down. If I say something good, you can be like, that's good. It'll help me to know that we're doing all right. We're not who we were. Ephesians chapter 5, who's there? You with me? Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Say, we're not who we were. You were darkness. That's a past tense thing. That's a used to be thing. Were means not anymore. Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus, you were one way, but now you are this way. And I'm telling you this morning, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Change has already happened. We don't need to work out how to let change or how to make change happen. Change has happened. You were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of goodness, all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. I love that it's super clear that Paul says transition has happened. You were darkness, now you are light. And then find out what pleases the Lord. I think sometimes we think we need to find out what pleases the Lord first, and then change will happen. But I'm telling you this morning that change has happened, and you can find out what pleases the Lord on the way. You were once darkness, and now you are light. Say, we're not who we were. You aren't darkness anymore. You aren't that habit anymore. You aren't that thinking pattern anymore. You are light in the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. He doesn't say, don't hang out with those people. He's saying, don't do those things. This isn't an exclusive message that if you've lived a certain way, therefore you're cast away. No, this is a welcoming message to say that you are light, and forget about those habits. Forget about those thinking patterns. Forget about that worry, because it doesn't belong with you anymore. You're light in the Lord. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. Stop talking about it and do something to change. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, becomes illuminated, and the things that are illuminated become the light. So the dark areas become light areas. As soon as we let the light of God shine in that darkness, the darkness has not overcome it, the light has overcome the darkness. It becomes a light. That bad habit or that past mistake now becomes a light for somebody else, a beacon of hope for somebody else as you choose to let God in and be that light. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. That's a hopeful message, and Christ will shine upon you. So the first thought around embracing change, again, we're not who we were. Say that with me. Say, we're not who we were. It's like a little tongue twister. You're not who you are. There is an old me and a new me. The contrast on that very first passage that I read, you were once in darkness, now you are light. It's like a two direct opposites coming together, saying you were one way that is totally different than who you are now. And I'm telling you, who you are now is the way better version. Who you are in Jesus is the way better version than who you used to be. But in order for us to embrace change, in order for us to realize change, we need to recognize that change has already happened. Say, we're not who we were. you don't have to get caught up in those things, because as you choose to believe, a process of change, bam, already begins to happen. Light fills up your world and change happens. And change is better. The new you is the better version. The new you is the true you. The old me, I realized the old me was filled with darkness and the new me is light. That's what the verse said. The old me is filled with worry and anxiety. But guess what? The new me is filled with peace and hope in Jesus' name. The old me gets caught up in doubt, gets caught up in sorrow. But the new me is filled with faith in God. The new me is full of joy because I got the Holy Spirit in me. There is a new you today. Change has happened today for you. Say, we're not who we were. The current version is way better than the previous version. I know this because Vanessa and I just bought a new car a couple weeks ago. Hello. And let me just say, the current version, way better than the old version. I'm pretty sure Gandalf, may he rest in peace. He was struggling a little bit. Like he would kind of moan when we went on really long road trips. He would start to make these sounds like, well, just once we got past like a buck 30, I mean, that's, we shouldn't be going that fast anyways, 130. Whoa. But Gandalf didn't like it. Let me tell you, the new car, I don't, we haven't named it yet. We're working on it. Maybe it's like, no. Okay. Don't even try to name it right here, right now. But let's say he can go way faster than 130 without crying. And no, but the new version is better. There's a little dashboard that shows up on the window that shows us our speed. It tells me how to drive. It's like, brake, you need a brake when the other guy pulls in front of me. I mean, not when I'm driving too fast, but when somebody else pulls in front of me, my car's like, brake, some crazy person's going to cause a crash here, and it's not me, somebody else, right? But the new you is better. The new version is better. It's the same car, but it's a newer version. And technology is like this as well. The newer version of the iPhone is way better than the older version of the iPhone. Maybe you're a Galaxy Samsung user. The door is right over there. I'm kidding. Look out. Adam and Eve ate the apple and that caused darkness to come. So maybe I'm preaching the wrong message here. The newer version is better than the older version. And the newer version of you is right here, right now, because light has come. And it is a better version of you. The new you is the true you, baby. And God is here to enact change in your world. God is here to enact growth in your world. God is here to shift some things and change some things this morning for you. Because you were a certain way, but now you are a new way. You were darkness previously. You are light now. And I don't know about you, but I often try to figure out, how do I make this change happen? How do I build up and grow up the new me? I'm going to help you with that. But the first thing that you need to get straight is that you are the new you. It's already happened. So we just need to embrace the fact that it's already happened, welcome the change agent, the Holy Spirit, and walk out the journey of finding out what pleases the Lord. So we need to find out what pleases the Lord. Well, let me tell you, the biggest thing that pleases the Lord, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells me this, is faith. It's belief. That's all it takes to find out what pleases the Lord is to choose, I'm going to believe him. Because Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we often try to work out how I can please God. And so we go about all the right methods on how to do it. I'm going to show up and serve on a Sunday morning. I'm going to sign up for these 18 connect groups. I'm gonna wake up every morning at this time and I'm gonna read my Bible and I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna read the whole book of Leviticus, and it's hard and it's difficult and it's confusing, but I'm gonna read the whole thing because I'm finding out what pleases the Lord. And we forget that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you wanna find out what pleases the Lord? I'm telling you, it's just belief. That's all it takes, is belief that I am a new me. that I was once darkness and now I am light, so I'm going to become the light by choosing belief. But faith comes out in our language and it comes out in our action. Okay, so choosing faith is step one. And what that does is it means choosing language of faith. So finding out what pleases the Lord is faith. That's it, first and foremost. But language of faith is something that pleases God. So I can't afford to go to the leadership retreat. It's maybe some language that needs to be shifted in you. Faith language says, hey, I'm going to figure out a way to make it to leadership retreat. A language opposite to faith is like, these guys ask, like, it's just complaints. Have you noticed complaints coming out of your mouth more often than not? I found that sometimes in my marriage. We're married 9 years now, and language of complaints of like, I wish this would change. I wish that would change. But new language is like, we're working on this. I'm growing in this area. It's a language of faith that changes my perspective completely to the new me. The new me rejects darkness. The new me is light, and it says whatever becomes light is illuminated. That you have the power to do this. I don't know if you realize that. Sometimes we feel like I don't have the power to change. You're right, you don't. But God already enacted change on your behalf when he sent the Holy Spirit and he said, here you go, here's the tool, here's everything you need tied up in a little bow. It makes, we forget about the fact that change has already happened, and so we continue living in the same patterns, in the same methods. And it makes me think of, in Texas, they celebrate this day called Juneteenth. This is the funniest, like the craziest thing in the world, okay? So I'm going to tell you a little story here. In Texas, they celebrate Juneteenth. I heard Jen laughing because she probably knows what it's all about. But so it's like June 19th, because what happened is June 19th, 1865, the slaves in Texas found out that they were free. But I don't know if you know, but Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which stated that all men are free men. And it happened January 1st, 1863. So for 2.5 years, these slaves in Texas were living as slaves when they had already been declared free. And we today, we're living in darkness when we've already been declared light. Like light has already happened. You were once darkness, now you are light. There's an old me and a new me, and I need to embrace the new me, because what happens is the old me constantly tries to claw its way back. Doubt constantly tries to claw its way back in my world. Vanessa and I are on a journey of having kids. It's been a 7-year journey, and we're now in the middle of the adoption process. Hello. I don't know if you knew that, church. There's a little. We're officially on lists waiting for baby now. So there it is, babe. It's out there. But doubt constantly creeps in. It's like this could be a 3-year journey for you. You hear stories like I've been waiting for like 7 years now, and I could so easily let that conversation be like, oh, now we're going to be waiting for 7. We serve a way bigger God than that. I am full of faith that this is going to happen, and it's going to happen quickly, because God's using our story to enact change. God is using my faith and my belief to cause light to happen in my world and in the world around me. And God is using the darkness in your life as it becomes illuminated to be a beacon of hope for some people. Say, we're not who we were. But again, the old version constantly tries to claw its way back, because we live in a world of decay, unfortunately. I mentioned Adam and Eve earlier. They ate the apple. We now live in decay. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Now my whole world is constantly dying, and I have to strive to bring it back to life by recognizing that Jesus is in control, by recognizing that nothing that I can do other than trust and belief will change my circumstance. So I need to let the internal circumstance change the external circumstance. And so I need to put intention behind revealing the new me. Things like prayer, Things like getting in the Bible and reading it on a daily basis. This stuff helps you reveal the new you. It helps you become the better version, the bigger version. Yes, the bigger version is here, but we need to find out what pleases the Lord. And we do that by having faith. We do that by approaching His Word. We do that by connecting ourselves in community. Again, get yourself to Leadership Retreat 2019. This will cause the lights in your world to turn on. The new version will become illuminated as you show up to a place. But it takes intention. It takes reason. It takes pushing into it, which brings me to the second thought, which is that exposing the dark areas in my world helps reveal the new me. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. When was the last time that you let someone in on your world? When was the last time that you were honest with God on the dark areas in your life? Yeah, this is intense because we all go through it. Every one of us has dark areas in our life. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. I don't know the translation. I looked into the translation of all, and it means everyone. It's the pastor sitting up there with the mic. He has fallen short of the glory of God. The person who you see whose life seems so much better and further along, guess what? They've also fallen short of the glory of God. That none of us has arrived because we desperately need Jesus. But I am on the process of exposing dark areas in my life in order to allow the areas of light to show up. Let me give you a quick example. Because we all have dark areas in our lives. Maybe the dark areas I'm living with my boyfriend or girlfriend, but I know that I shouldn't be. Something tells me I need a change. Who are you talking to about that change? How are you adjusting? How are you bringing light to that area? Maybe the dark areas, I'm straight up a lustful person. I have this addiction to be looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at, and I know it's not right. Have you talked to the Holy Spirit of God about that? Have you talked to a friend or leader and said, hey, I'm really struggling in this area? Because darkness convinces us that we're the only one facing this darkness. Maybe there's an anger issue. This is a story in my life where an unholy moment of anger showed up in my world. So, and again, everything exposed by the light becomes a light. So don't worry. Something good happened out of it. Praise the Lord, I believe. But I work in the construction industry. Shout out Paul. How you doing? Paul's my coworker. He's amazing. Thank you for coming. Also works in construction, understands it's stressful and brings anxiety, and it's frustrating because you're dealing with people, and people like myself make lots of mistakes, and you got to deal with those things. But what happened is one of our suppliers wasn't listening, wasn't responding to anything, and then all of a sudden they have the audacity to write an email to us saying, see this snippet below, this is another reason why you guys aren't doing your job. This is another reason that might bring a delay to the project. And the word delay in construction is like, you don't talk about the D word, okay? Everything is on time and on budget until the scheduled date has passed and the budget has been spent. It could be the day before the final due date and we're on budget and on schedule, but don't use the D word. He says, this is another reason why you guys, you're not doing your thing. And so I wrote this email internally. Or so I thought. I'm going to read you this email because I'm just exposing an area of darkness and I'm telling you what I did with it. Hopefully, this will help you out. I wrote, the start of the email said, please don't just forward this email to the supplier, but for the record. That's how you know you're going to come out with something strong. These guys shouldn't be blaming us for their own issues, not answering emails, not answering questions, not even doing their own jobs. Their work has clearly been done incorrectly. I understand that they're supposed to be thinking. I understand they're just following someone else's direction, but they're supposed to be thinking creatively and coming up with answers to their problems. I can dig up plenty of unanswered emails relating to this, but someone ought to tell, I've inserted a new name for protection of people's privacy. Someone ought to set Fred straight with a giant screw you. This is not our issue, it's theirs. I got a one-line reply from one of my teammates that said, you copied the supplier in your email. And I wanted to hide. This is darkness in my world, and I want to shy away from it. And I don't know about you, but when darkness shows up in your world, the first response is, I want to hide from this. I want to run away from this. I want to put this under the rug because it doesn't belong here. But I'm reminded that everything exposed by the light becomes a light. And so what I did is, after 24 hours, I had time to calm down. I called up Fred. I called the supplier and I said, look, I don't know if you read my email. And I talked to him and I said, I make a lot of mistakes, man. I probably said some stuff that I shouldn't have said. There are clearly some frustrations here, but let's work together and come up with a solution. And all that did is Fred is like, who is this guy on the phone? Who is this guy who's willing to admit that he was wrong? Who is this guy who's willing to... And it became a light for Fred's world. He's like, this is a person of integrity. This is a person that I can trust. So now, when problems come up, he's willing to call me and say, hey, I'm trying to work through this thing. Like, how can we get to the bottom of this? Because everything that's exposed by the light becomes a light. And when you confess the things that are going on, God can shine his light through it and enact change in your world. Maybe you're here and you're not even sure what the dark areas in your life are. Maybe try to pray this prayer. Because, first of all, they're there. Romans 3:23, let me remind you, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Assume that they're there and ask God to reveal them. Pray this prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. And I'll ask the whole band to come up. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. I feel the Holy Spirit in this place right now. Just close your eyes for a minute and pray this prayer with me. You don't need to say it. Just listen intently. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This is asking light to shine on a dark place in your world. This is asking the Holy Spirit of God to reveal in me an offensive way, an area that shouldn't be there, and then lead me in the way everlasting. We often want to ask God to lead us in the way of everlasting, but we don't want him to see if there's any offensive way in me. You can't have one without the other. You can't ask God to lead you in everlasting but not ask him to reveal the areas that need to change. There's areas in you and I that need to change, but we need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal them and help us to walk out the journey of change and help us to turn on light and help us to change things. And here's the good news, is that when we ask God to reveal in me any offensive way, he automatically leads us in the way everlasting. When I approach him and say, God, show me where I've been wrong. Show me where I've let anger rule. Show me where I've let doubt break me down. He opens up my eyes, and then it's like he reaches out from heaven and picks me back up and says, I'm going to walk with you through this thing. I'm going to fill you up with faith and belief again to get through this thing. You are going to get through this thing in the name of Jesus. And I purposely left some time at the end because I'm going to invite people to just come up. The last point that I'm making is we got to let light in. Maybe in this moment you had a dark area in your world revealed, I want to pray for you and believe that we're going to let light into that area. That darkness cannot coexist with light. And light is here, right now, to touch your world, to change your heart, to shift things in you. I'm not looking to single anybody out. I'm not looking to put the microphone in front of you and say, would you confess the area of darkness? But I'm asking you to make a move. Because that move says, God, I'm broken. God, I'm full of doubt right now. God, I keep repeating this habit that I know I not should not be repeating. Would you allow your light to fill up my world so that I can change? Because I believe that change is here. I believe that change is right here, right now, and he is ready to impact your world. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing this song that says, this is holy ground. And I'm believing that some people's trials this morning are going to become their testimony. That some people's darkness in their world is going to become light to somebody else. And so I'm going to invite you, why don't we all just stand up? And if you've got some darkness in your world, that in that prayer, see if there's any offensive way in me that God revealed something to you that needs to be adjusted. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to even ask what it is because he knows and you know. I'm just going to ask light to fill up your world. So as we sing this song, I want you to just come down to the front right now.